Wings Christian Fellowship, adult discussion, Bible study class. And we wish you were all here in person, but just being here in spirit warms the cockles of our heart. So, I think we're still in Matthew. I think we're still in chapter 6. And
chapter 5.
Yeah. And we are up to about verse 21. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else that we want to bring up and discuss from anything that you guys talked about last week? Or anything else that's on your heart that the Lord is prompting you to start a conversation about?
I got an announcement. We'll probably be in chapter 5 next week.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to hear and get.
Yes.
We won't skip nothing.
48.
There's a lot in there.
48 verses.
48 verses. Okay.
And we're starting 21. Right. Yep.
That's good.
Father, we just thank you for gathering together
with
brothers and sisters, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, how you're always so anxious to reveal yourself to us, in us, and through us. And Lord, may we ever be, oh Lord, conscious of you, no matter what we're doing or where we're at, that we may draw from you in all situations and circumstances. We thank you. We give you praise, oh God, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus. So how far do you want me to read?
Is it your turn to read?
If you want
me to read. Like I always show up when it's your turn to read. Sorry, buddy. It's nothing personal.
That's fine with me.
Start at 21?
And
20 or go back a few, who knows? Let's see. I think start at 21 because there's a natural break there that says personal relationships.
All right.
We should be on that for a while.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, starting at Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said to men of old that you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. But I say to you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice, enmity of the heart against him shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. And whoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly to his brother shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you cursed fool, you empty-headed idol, shall be liable to and unable to escape the hell, Gehenna, of fire. And I have a question about that before we go further. What is this speaking of? Since they say there's really not, well, there is hell, but it's not for us as punishment, correct? Brother Oscar or anybody?
I can say something, but you guys go ahead first. I mean,
Was that the 22nd verse that you just read?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I need to read that.
All right.
Okay.
In what?
Actually, I'm coming out of King James.
Okay.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, that's very important, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, I can't pronounce the word, but it means vain fellow.
Right.
Shall be in danger of counsel. I think we need to stop right there. So it's not only about our brother and our attitude toward him, but it's also that we're going to be set up to be in judgment of the council. I think that's important By the way, high council.
Yes.
That's exactly how it is, high council. And it said, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So, you know, some people say, well, come on, let's put it this way. Well, it wasn't that bad. I don't know. I'm admitting my weakness. I do not know, even through Christ, if I offend you or not. We think, well, I did it in Christ, so I'm not offensive. It's not about how we take it. It's about how we present it and they take it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that might slow our language. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Mm-hmm. That's just not us. That's the other person too. Mm-hmm. But I would say this, or I'll ask this question. Is that possibility, the quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, is that probably our portion towards somebody, especially the non-believer, or somebody that's could be in judgment of a council? Mm-hmm. How would they take it? So wouldn't that change maybe our words, or even shut our mouths?
Okay.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is, because it says the council. Are we talking about being judged before a council of your peers?
We all should be, yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what? All of you are my peers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what's important. If I'm wrong, tell me. I think that's what's important about us gathering in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that we become a body, but not just a body, but an active body. I mean, you know, when we see somebody doing something wrong, I know it says when we see one in a fault, but when we see someone in a fault, ye that are spiritual, I don't think that's a dominion spiritual. I think that just means walking with the Lord and wants to restore somebody or help somebody to be restored.
Right.
Then you're not really judging them and looking at them thinking what they should be doing for punishment.
And you know, walking with the Lord is not lickety-split. Mm-hmm. Walking with the Lord is a daily thing that a lot of times we need to look in the mirror, and is that person that we see in the mirror, I forget what he said, Oscar says, but it means, are we becoming mature in this? And mature is actually quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of maturity.
I also think that means we come alongside them and walk with him.
Right.
To help. It's the attitude. It's the attitude that is important. What are we doing? Are we doing something to call them an empty-headed fool? Are we doing something out of resentment, wrath, whatever? Or are we with the mind of Christ coming alongside to correct in the most, to find the most beautiful words, to find the most accepting words, you know, to correct him gently and to walk with him?
Can I say something about, I think you hit it on the nose, we walk beside them.
Yes.
And as we walk beside them, and we have a tendency to be an ear to hear,
mm-hmm.
we'll get more insight of where they're at and how they're seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe even our walk, if it be gentle and comforting, will reflect actually what, without even speaking it.
Mm-hmm.
There would be love that covers, because it says that love covers. So like you say, beside and whatever we're seeing,
I've been trying to think about the personality of Jesus compared to my personality. And when I, you know, sit and just contemplate, I wouldn't call it studying. It's nothing like that. It's just sitting and contemplating my feelings about how Jesus, while he walked the earth, approached men. He always approached them with an open heart.
Right.
Always. He always approached them granting them the dignity, even if they were asking a stupid question or presenting a point of view that was just so off. Well, being God, you know, he always knew where that was coming from and treated it with the respect of knowing what's the missing link in this person's brain functioning, in this person's heart, and how has he been hurt or misused to have this misshapen identity and this misshapen feeling about what God is and how he is loved. And those are the things that he wants us to do, to always give people that same respect that is due them.
All right. And the question I said back was about unable to escape the hell,
okay.
Gehenna of fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's read the definition of that word, okay?
Right.
The definition of that word is, it's a Greek version of the Hebrew word of the valley of Hinnon, a ravine where garbage, and that's very important, garbage was burned continuously, located just south of Jerusalem, often regarded in ancient times as symbolic of hell. A lake of fire, a realm reserved in the same for the wicked. You know, but I don't agree with that last part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we know, let's put it to you like this. We know that our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
And I've taught on this and I've passed out papers on the lake of fire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The lake of fire is not really as ominous as it sounds, you know. Because it means nearness to shore. First of all, lake means nearness to shore. And then we know that our God is a consuming fire. He makes his ministers what? A flame of fire,
yeah.
Okay? So if you're in danger of going into the lake of fire or into what's translated here as hell, Gehenna, what's going to be burned up there? What does it say? What did they say it did here? It was the garbage dump.
Yeah.
Where all the garbage got burned up.
That's the temporary.
We all got garbage in our lives.
That's
we all
right,
need
right.
some of it burned up.
Right.
We got hatred. We got opinions, which our opinions are worth absolutely nothing in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Our opinions need to be thrown in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to say, tell the Lord, Lord, you are the truth. Reveal to me the truth. And as he reveals to you the truth, your opinions go out the door, you know. Because opinion, really the true definition of opinion is something falling short of the truth.
Right.
And we want to know the truth in all situations. And there's only one truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. It's not in somebody else, in another person, or anything else. It's in him. Let me just finish here just a second. So if it means the garbage dump where garbage is burned up, then you're going to be in danger of going into the garbage dump. And what's going to get burned up in your life? The wood, the hay, and the stubble.
Right.
Just like it says in other portions of Scripture. And if the wood and the hay and the stubble is burned up in your life, then what's going to remain? Only the precious. There's only one thing precious.
Right.
And that's him. He's the precious one. That nature of him inside of us. And we all have that. I'm just going to say one more thing. I like to look at YouTube because there's all kind of goofy stuff you can read on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at one last night where this person was talking about the secret that was in the Bible, that if you learned this secret, you know, like you were going to be opened up to all knowledge and all this and that, you know, kind of thing. I thought, well, geez, I need to know that. No, so I read it just because it said that kind of, it led you right into it. But the thing about it was with the scripture that it really quoted, and it got down to the brass tacks, it said it was in the Bible, the real answer to all that. And it was, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes,
within
yes,
you.
Yes.
And once you realize that the kingdom of God is within you, and that's true, because when you realize that the kingdom of God is within you, where does the king dwell? Within you. Where should all of your motivations and all your actions come from?
The king.
Decrees of the king.
Yeah.
That's where they should come from. When the king makes a decree, guess what? It happens. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that sounds horrible. It sounds bad. If you take the popular definition of hell out there, you know, that you're going to be tormented forever and ever and ever, you know, then, you know, that's a terrible thing to happen. But if it's going to just burn up the garbage in your life, then it's not really that horrible of a thing, you know. And only the precious will remain. Well, there's only one thing precious in you, and that's the amount of God inside of you. Go ahead, Clyde. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, and wouldn't we in Christ, not in this room, but in Christ, that means when we're not in this room, mm-hmm. want the garbage burned up within us? Yeah. Especially if we know this, that Jesus, to know him, is to know life. And if we don't choose him, we choose garbage.
Mm-hmm.
What's garbage have? I think we ought to talk about garbage a little. What's garbage do besides we throw it away? If it's not thrown away immediately, in some cases, it is really stinky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What it does is rot.
Please?
It rots.
Right. And if we don't throw it away, it has a tendency to rot the smeller.
Mm-hmm.
In Debbie's family, we used to say the smeller is the feller.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, I mean, that's funny in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I've taken stuff out that Debbie said it's really bad. Stuff that, you know, she's cut off or that has gone bad. And I just don't take it to the garbage can. Our garbage can is in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
I wrap it up about two or three times and put it in the dumpster.
Yeah.
The thing that will take it away. Mm-hmm. And what's Jesus say? It almost like our sins. He'll what? Throw it into the sea of forgiveness?
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. When you take it to the dumpster, I'm talking about garbage again, but when you take that to the dumpster, you don't think about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure once you released it, you don't think about it anymore. Why? Because it's in the proper place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I want to say is, how will we be free? Whom the Spirit has set free is what?
Free
indeed. And that Spirit is the presence of God in our lives. And he's been working with me a lot. Remember, you can't choose stuff for other people.
No. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can present Christ, you can do whatever. But in the end, that's all we can do.
Yes.
I mean, I ain't trying to give anybody an out saying, hey, that's all I got to do. But to be honest with you, we carry burdens sometimes we're not even supposed to carry.
That's right.
We're supposed to put it in his presence, say, at your feet, I lay me at your feet, right there. Do and have your will in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people got to realize when we pray God's will, we're not playing what Clyde and Debbie want. We're praying what God wants. And our desire should be the same as Clyde and Debbie, should be the same as God's. Thy will be done. And when his will's done, we might not agree with it sometimes because of the way he gets it there. But I got news for you. In the end, thy will be done. And what did Christ say on Calvary? Lay it not to their charge, for they knew not what they were doing, or something like that. Isn't that what it is?
Yes.
And I'm going like this. Come on. We need to quit laying stuff at other people's charge. I mean, when I stumble, guess what? Usually I'll stumble on a rug. That's no lie. And I look down and go, who put that rug there? Hi there. So, you know, take the stumbling block away. A lot of times we're our own stumbling block. The thing is, we need to perfect ourselves where we don't stumble ourselves and don't cause somebody else to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shut up.
You know, verse 21, we didn't really discuss that very much. But it says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. You know, a lot of times we think of that as killing somebody, you know, because it sounds like literally it's talking about killing somebody. But you know, a lot of times, whether you realize it or not, your words kill people.
Yes.
I mean, you could absolutely destroy somebody by saying the wrong thing to them, you know. You take a kid or something, mm-hmm. you can tell them that they're stupid when they're little, and keep mm-hmm. telling them they're stupid. And you've placed that inside of that kid to the point where you've killed their ability to realize that they're more than what you said about them. You know, when we come to the realization that we need to even weigh our words a lot of times, you know, that old saying about still waters run deep, you know, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, like Clive was saying before. You know, we can kill people. We can kill their ability. I shared one time in one of the messages I shared with you about this guy. He was in school, and his teacher always telling him that he was stupid and he'd never amount to nothing and stuff. And he wasn't successful in life. He had, you know, really rough time in life until somebody got with him and started telling him, you're not stupid. And they realized that he was like dyslexic or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And they started working with him. And after he come to the realization that he really wasn't stupid, then it said he started being very successful. And he actually became literally a multimillionaire. It's amazing what happened to him. And he went back to that school and found that teacher and told her, I just wanted to let you know you were wrong when you called me stupid. Mm-hmm. And he told her what he'd done, and she knew who he was because he was very, basically a famous person, you know. So when you come down to that, our words can literally kill somebody. Mm-hmm. We need to be very careful what we say and to actually weigh. And I'll tell you, one of the quickest ways to keep from saying something too harsh to somebody is say to yourself before you say something, how would I feel if somebody said this very same thing to me that I'm about to say to this other person? And you know what? About 90% of the time, you won't say it.
No.
If you're honest, you know. Because, you know, most of the time, the people that speak up and say stuff the most are the most touchy people in life. They're touchy themselves. And if you say something to them, I mean, you know, then they are devastated. You know, and a lot of times they get very, very devastated. So it's one of them situations. You know, I had a person one time come to me, and you know, and part of this said, you know, let's see, verse 21, it says, your righteousness shall exceed that of the Pharisees. Righteousness of scribes and the Pharisees shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That was above that. And you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Well, the thing about when you're judged by your words, and like I say, what you say to people sometimes can be very devastating. And in that next verse, verse 22, it says, but I say unto you that whosoever shall be angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that having taught Sunday school years ago for many years and stuff, I had one person in the congregation years ago, they come to me one time and says, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been treating you bad. Said, well, yeah, I noticed. I mean, when you treat somebody bad, they usually notice.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if you noticed, but I've been treating you kind of bad lately. And said, you know, I was angry at you because of something somebody else was doing. And I said, well, that's okay. He said, will you forgive me? I said, yeah, I forgive you. You're forgiven. I said, I knew you was mad. I said, but I figured I wasn't mad at you, you was mad at me, and I said, I figured you got mad, you'd get glad, you know? I mean, that's the way I looked at it. And that was one time. That same person came to me again another time, something that I had no control over, told me the same thing. Will you forgive me? And I said, yeah, I said, you know, I forgive you, you know? I said, you know, I'm not mad at you, I've not been mad at you, you know? Then it happened a third time on down the road. And now, I don't know if I handled this right or not, but I actually told the person, I said, look, I said, the thing that you keep coming to me about, I said, that's between you and one of your loved ones. And I said, it has nothing to do with me. I told him, I said, you know, you need to leave that person alone. You need to quit trying to push them into something that
they're not ready for.
That maybe they need to make up their mind whether they want to do this thing or they don't want to do this thing. And what it was someone was being jealous of me when I spoke, and they were one of the that person's father was one of the elders in the church. And I told him, I said, you and your mother need to leave him alone, leave that person alone. I said, because if they're supposed to be doing what they're doing, they need to get in there and do it. If they're not, then if they sit down, you need to leave them sit down, whatever. You know what I mean? I had to actually go into it a little bit, because the first two times, I just forgave them. But there comes a time sometimes when the judgment comes in. And that was the third time the judgment came in there, in the sense that I told them, you know, I have nothing to do with what this other person is doing. I'm not hindering them. I'm not keeping them from doing anything, you know. And you know, that particular person was doing a lot of bouncing up and down off the platform and different things, and I had nothing to do with that, you know. If anything, I was always encouraging that person, you know. So it came to the point there where I say, is that even in those situations, sometimes, after a while, you have to let the judgment come in there. And I didn't do it in a hateful way, but I finally told the person, look, you know, you need to deal with this with the Lord, because, and maybe you and your other, your mother or whatever, need to get off of this thing, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you're creating a problem that's really no problem, you know what I mean? But people sometimes do that. They have a tendency to blame you for problems that they have, you know. You be merciful so long, and then after a while, look at what Jesus did with Peter, you know. He was very gentle with Peter most of the time, until when he started telling Peter about how he must suffer and die and do all this. And then what did Peter say? What did he say to Peter?
The devil talked
to him. Get behind me, Satan. You don't suffer the... Now, I mean, if you said that to somebody, that would really blow away. But he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you don't savor the things of God, but you're savoring the things of man. You know? And sometimes with people, after a point, sometimes you do. The judgment does have to come in there in that sense. You know, that you finally tell the person, look, enough's enough. You know, I've forgiven you. You're forgiven, you know. But this is not really something that you need to go to the root of why this is even happening. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's not easy to do that with people. But sometimes you have to, you know, because it just continues on and on and on. And people are usually looking for someone to blame for their problems, you know. And, you know. But anyway, I thought I'd let you know there, even with the judgment sometimes the judgment has to come in.
It's got a reference on that, too. It goes to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Uh-huh. It says, anyone who hates his Christian brother is really a murderer at heart. Right. And you know that no one wanting to murder has eternal life within. Stop right there. Anyway, God knows how to take care of us.
He does.
I mean, I never tell him how to take care of us. He really does. I don't know if I told you that. after surgery, the doctor just could, it was like he was amazed. And I'm sitting there, I said, what? He said, it went so, so well. And we're in the operating room. I said, it did? He goes, yeah. I go, thank you, Jesus. And he looked back at me and says, Clyde, if I agree with that, what's the word in Scripture that confirms that? I said, amen. He goes, it didn't, amen.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We get opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are we going to 23?
Did you get your answer?
Yes.
Okay, that's that. I guess we should move on.
Yes, but I know.
23.
All right. So, if when you're offering your gift at the altar, you may remember that your brother has a grievance against you. So leave your gift at the altar and go. First make peace with your brother and then come back and present your gift. I have something to say about that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Praise God.
All right, it's saying that you remember that your brother has a grievance against you. And so you're to leave your gift and go, and you're supposed to make peace. And see, it's not saying that you have a grievance against someone, that someone you're remembering has a grievance or an ought, you know, against you. And it doesn't say, it says to make peace. But I know all the time when we go, God will send us to someone that maybe has something against you. And sometimes you may not even know what it is.
Exactly.
Or they have come to the point, it's been so long, that they don't remember where it began. But there's this thing.
Boy, that's a long time.
Yeah. But it won't be too long, you know. It's and so and it's according to how much you're around the person, you know. But that, and I know people can, because I've experienced it with a relative. And then I had no idea what is it that I have done. What is this and that? And have tried this one 2 years. Of sentence, you know, calling, you know, to find, said, leave him alone. You know, I didn't know why they were felt, but they didn't have anything to do with me, which I knew I had to have done something that made them feel this way. In the long run, it comes out. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine 2 years and it was someone that I had raised at some point? And here it says, and leave it and go make peace with your brother, then come back and present your gift. Sometimes it's only you making the peace with them, letting them know that you have nothing against them and that you forgive them. And maybe they're not going to receive it or want to.
But see, then when you do that, then really at that point, you've done all you can do.
Yes.
That's like that situation I told you about a few minutes ago. I dealt with that over a period of years. It wasn't just a couple of weeks or something. It was over a period of years. And I told that person I understood what they were saying. And then I said, I forgive you, you know. But then it would kind of crop back up and crop back up. And after it got to the third time, I have to admit I was losing patience with it the third time, where I basically said, you guys need to back off and leave that person alone and let them work this thing out between them and the Lord, you know. And I said, I'm not mad at you. I've never been mad at you over this. I could tell you were mad at me, but I hadn't done anything to you that I felt like should have made you mad. I mean, if I had, I would apologize. I told him, I said, but, you know, I forgive you, you know. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Can I say something? That's why it's not our responsibility no matter who it is in our family, to take the responsibility. They didn't offend you. So your apology can't come from you. It has to come from the one that's been offended or doing the offense. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, parents, grandparents, you can't subject yourself to say, God, I'm so sorry they're like this. You know, your responsibility is not them on that. Everyone's soul must come to the end of themselves and to the beginning of to the bride, to the groom. I mean, we can't do that. And we're not supposed to do that. Let's not be offended or afraid that we're doing it. But what I wanted to say about, it says, leave thy gift. God is in his word showing us what priority is. If you feel like that, even if they don't accept it, if you feel like that, your priority should be go to the person. And start repenting or ask for forgiveness for something you don't even know about. Mm-hmm. In that case, we're supposed to take our cross and be there. Not push the cross, but take our cross. You know, that's why I think it says carry. Yeah. It don't want us to become pushers of the cross or pushers of God. It wants us to present God in the gentleness that we've received it ourselves. But when we're broken, I believe that's the key. I think when we're broken, God knows, and he doesn't turn that away. And I've been praying for a situation my brother really helped me with. I've been praying for two convictions, that the Holy Ghost would grab two. And my brother looked at me and he said, Clyde, if the Holy Ghost convicts one, and that conviction is a pure conviction, that one will seek out the one that they've hurt or have had just terrible feelings about. And they'll come with conviction. They'll come with brokenness. And you know what? It'd be up to that person whether they want to be broken with them and join together with them. And he said, having done that, you've done all that you can do. But it's got to come from a heart, not just from, you know, just, oh, I'm tired of this. And you know what? I think when we come, Mike said it when he was doing the marathon. I thought that was so good that he seen a guy that was struggling. And then he said, I slowed down to where we walked together. And I think that together brings oneness, that you have an agreement that if you're so tired of fighting and tired of running and stuff like that, but you want to be an encouragement, it almost takes, we got to come along with them and say, hey, you know, it's not that we have to beat them or anything. We just have to be part of them. And I think, like, Mike got encouraged and that guy got encouraged. So, God, that's the thing I was going to ask you about the scripture here. It says, you know, it talks about what you do and how you lead people. But don't you think that when you become an encourager, that that also leads to life and away from death? I mean, there's one scripture here that says that we should restore one another. Mm-hmm. And restoring one another, I think I've seen my wife restore a table one time. Well, you know, she had to take stuff off the table first. She had to put a solution that took it off the table. And then she refinished the thing. But taking it off only means that in order to strip it off, it's got to be prepared to accept that which is the next step.
Yes.
And I think in, maybe I'm not making any sense, but in the Lord, that's exactly what he does to us. He peels layers of things that aren't bringing him honor. And we're going like this, oh, I need to hang on to that. And he said, no, you need to let go of it. Because in letting go, I'm preparing you to be a vessel that can be increased, that can be a blessing. You know, in the reality of Christ, I believe we're either one of two things. And there's no difference. I mean, not in between. You're either a blessing of God or you're a cursing of God. Mm-hmm. Choose to be a blessing. A blessing means you're going to walk around. Sure, God will show you things. But when he tells you to deal with them, tell me if he don't break your heart a little. Because a broken vessel, he won't turn away. I mean, You know, and if we're accepted in the Lord, and that's the whole key. We want everybody that we've ever come in contact with to walk with God, to not only know there's a higher power, but to know Him. And to sup with Him and just take time with Him. And I believe that that's one of the keys to God stripping things away from ourselves. I mean, I'm involved with so many people in the neighborhood. It's unbelievable. But you know what? I love it. I love it. That's part of the greatest ministry I've ever had, was the fact that I break bread with people. I talk to people. I listen to them a lot. But you know what? I always try to leave encouraging them. You know, we just, sometimes the best thing we can be is to be a sitter among them. And God will lead you.
Well, see, it's like that verse says there, you know, about first be reconciled to your brother. So, what is the ministry that God has given us?
Reconciliation.
And it's total reconciliation, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not in putting their trespasses.
Yes.
So if we're going to follow in His footsteps, we have to be reconciled to people, not in putting their trespasses to them. You know, be forgiving them. And He goes on and He says that he's given us a word of reconciliation. And what is the word of reconciliation? Was that Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And if we're going to be a part of that, we have to be that word of reconciliation in everything that we do, you know. And, you know, it doesn't always mean that people are going to accept it, because they don't always accept it. And but, you know, it's one of them situations where all you can do is your part of any of it. You know, do what the Lord has you do. And then whether or not that person gives into that or doesn't, that's between them. And you know, you can't do nothing about that. You know.
We have a close relation who is going through one of the most horrible, I can't think of anything worse. And her whole life has been like that. Her whole life has just been, but that strong will that she has always hung on to. And you wonder sometimes, how in the world can you help? And God does everything according to His good pleasure. And God, we have to trust that He wants them to come to Him. And all that He does, and all that He is, focuses on what must happen. And He knows that situation for every single human being on the face of the earth. He knows what it took for you. He knows what it took for you. He knows what it took for you. And He knows what it's going to take for this person who is now in her 50s and still has that, nobody's going to tell me. And whatever it takes, oh dear Lord Jesus, with love, with compassion, that I admit at this point, I'm not able to give anymore.
That's what I said, really, that basically, about only part you can do of any situation,
yes,
like that is your part. You
yes.
Can, you know, you got to leave it in the hands of God once you do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where that scripture comes in. Pray for those who despitefully use
yes.
you.
Yes.
And in so doing, you know, basically what's going to happen is the coals of fire is going to get heaped on. Well, a coals of fire is the presence of God in your prayers for them, you know. And, you know, that consuming fire, they might need to be get cast down into that valley for a while. that garbage gets burned up. We all going to have to get the garbage burned up in us,
amen.
You know.
Amen. I was thinking of that with the refinishing of the furniture, too.
Yeah.
You scrape that junk off, well, are you going to save it and use it on something else? In the garbage.
Right. It's of no value once
that's
you take
right.
it off.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, is that, you know, we're learning and we're all coming through the same things. Maybe not with exact same things, but in the areas where we need to be hung down or scraped off or burned up or whatever God's doing, He knows exactly how to get to each one of us, you know, that the beauty of Him be revealed. That's what it really amounts out to, you know. But that's good.
Amen.
Well, I guess we should probably close.
Let's close. Mike, do you do it?
Father, thank you for this opportunity today, and thank you for what's been said today. Father, let us learn from those things that we heard today. And Father, just let us continue to be encouragers and just try and help other people to just get their life straightened out.
Yes.
Amen.
So next week we will be at 25, probably. First.